So I just wanted to begin by just saying how much I'm appreciating everyone in the way we all are here together. It's very touching to go around the circle today and just hear everyone's experiences. And it's quite incredible that we've only been here, maybe we could say 2.5 days together. And so much has happened. So just to take a moment to acknowledge that. And if at any point you can't hear me or you don't understand something that I'm saying, feel free to let me know. So before I kind of go into this evening's exploration, also to just share with everyone that tomorrow we have a long day of walking. It's our one remaining long day, hopefully. and so it means that it would be really great if we could leave on time. Would allow us to also get to the lunch spot at a reasonable time and to the camp at a reasonable time. So if we could just really feel how to gather ourselves so that, we do our best as a community to get through the different components of the morning. And we know it's extra tricky because it's a new group of people doing the job, so you won't be that proficient maybe. But just to really see if we can all pull together to do that. And it can also mean that, if you're packed already, you could see if anything else needs to be done. Maybe the dishwashing is still happening, or maybe there's the tarp that needs to be taken down or the toilet to be filled in. So just to check with the managers and do that. And so as soon as your bag is ready, if it can come up here and be here, and also helping each other if needed, like packing up tents and I think we really had a beautiful experience of that this morning, how that can all happen in silence in a really beautiful way. So to include that in our practice, and we know that We've been reset somewhat by today, so we can see what tomorrow brings together. So this evening I'd like to explore a little bit more, elaborate a little bit more about what we're doing here, about this kind of practice that we're engaged in, which can sometimes feel pretty extreme. We're kind of here with billions of mosquitoes and weather that's very changeable, and really out and bringing ourselves out into the world in this way. And so to really explore a little bit what this is, what this opens up for us, what possibilities come through. And when I was reflecting on this, this always comes to me when I'm in the wild, that in the Buddha's time, this is how people practiced. He actually did not allow his followers, the monks and nuns, were not allowed to stay in one place. They had to roam, they had to be nomadic, and they had to move around also in very small groups. So it's interesting, what is it about that he was, so adamant about, that he felt was so useful to us. So, why was it that he sent the monks and the nuns out and to live without comforts of a home life, without possessions, without even knowing where their next meal was going to come from or when? So one option of why he did this is, of course, you know, maybe he was just a jerk. That's a joke. Maybe he was just mean. But I think if we read the teachings and if we experience the practice, then we get a sense that that probably wasn't the case. There wasn't much meanness around. So what was it? You know, why emphasize this so much? Why put so much emphasis on this way of life as a way of practice? And so I really want to invite all of us to reflect on that. So what happens in this kind of environment? What happens when we open up in this way? When we go outside of our comfort zone, when we go into the unknown in the way we're doing here? What does that do? What opens up? We can say when we expose ourselves to life in this way. So we give up a lot, obviously. You know, we're giving up a lot of control that we normally would have of, you know, when we do very basic things, like when we eat, when we sleep, when we walk, how fast we walk, when we stop, what we eat. You know, we've given all that up. And so I'd really like to invite you to reflect on this, and if anyone wants to offer anything into the space, what opens up when we do this? What do we experience? If anyone wants to offer any word or sentence into the space, if anything's coming to you. Letting go. Letting go. What else?
Trusting other people. Fresh experience.
Fresh experience, yeah. Anything more?
Connection.
Valuing the basic needs.
Collaboration.
Yeah, so quite a lot can come. And I was doing this with myself, and the words that were coming up for me were possibility. I let myself do more than one word. Possibility, intimacy, richness, and abundance. Those were the words that came up for me, just to also throw them into the circle here. So we also, when we do this, we find out a lot about diversity. A lot about diversity of ourselves and a lot about diversity of each other. Fresh experiences, inner and outer. We found out how varied we are. And I was remembering when I was reflecting on this, I was speaking to Nathan's stepmother just before we were coming here and kind of just trying to tell her a little bit about what we were going to do. And I mentioned that I probably wasn't going to shower for a week. And she was horrified. She was really horrified. You know, she like almost threw up next to me. And it was really interesting to see that. And I thought, well, actually, you know, I love showering, you know. I love showering. In my normal life, I would shower most days. That would be a given. And yet, when I go on this kind of experience, I love not showering. You know? I love not showering. I love getting dirty. I love being around other people that are dirty. You know, it's just like, nothing feels dirty. It's just different. And isn't that amazing? So we come out here, we go into a situation that's completely different to our daily life. And then we see ourselves differently. We find out that this person I thought I am, you know, I have these preferences, I like this, I don't like that, I do this, I don't do that, isn't that fixed? different conditions, different situations, seemingly same person, has different choices, has a different preference. And that's pretty major, actually, thing to see about ourselves. It shows us that we're actually not who we think we are. You know, we go around life with an idea. I'm this or I'm that. I'm like this or I'm like that. And we come out here into a different set of conditions, very different. And we find out, actually, I'm also this person. I'm also like that. You know, right now I feel like this, and 3 hours ago I felt very different about something. You know, someone was telling me that they were finding themselves yesterday and the day before, like, kind of one moment wishing it would rain so the mosquitoes would stop, and then the other moment wishing the mosquitoes would come so the rain would stop, you know. So that's kind of like the variety that's actually always there, but we don't notice it when we're in our kind of habitual, normal circumstances, our daily life way. And so what we see is that we ourselves are so part of this flow of impermanence that we've been speaking about. And that we ourselves, that we are kind of at the core of this idea of solidity. You know, there is a me, there is an I, there is this fixed Zohar or Sonia or Sebastian or whatever, whoever we are. You know, there's this fixed thing. And when we look, when we expose ourselves a little bit, we see, I'm not that fixed. I too am subject to causes and conditions that are changing all the time. And so I'm changing all the time. And that's pretty cool to see. It can be scary also sometimes, but it's very cool. And when we open, when we see that in ourselves, even if it's just for moments, we open to that, we also understand that everything else is like that also. Yeah? So I'm not a fixed, separate, solid entity, and neither is anybody else or anything else. There's just this kind of constant flow of things coming together in certain ways and then moving on again. And we're all part of that. We're all part of that flow. The Vietnamese teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh, I'm sure many of you have heard of him, he speaks of this as being part of the community of interbeing. Community of interbeing. So we're not separate. We're actually we're often spoken of as interconnected, but he speaks about it as interbeing, which I really like. Do you get the sense of this word, of what it means to interbe? You know, it means that right now, Anna's putting more wood on the fire and it's affecting all of us. The wind's blowing, and that's a conditioned thing. Mosquitoes are coming or going. And that's a conditioned thing that's affecting all of us. Any moment, these pieces of paper might blow into the fire, and that will affect all of us as well, in different ways. So we inter are. We're not just me. I, me, mine. We're us, and a big us, you know, not just human us as well. So everything is connected. Everything is connected. And when we see this, even for a moment, it's immensely transformative and freeing. I was also remembering, I think this was about 2 years ago, maybe even more, when Anna and Juha, actually, I think in two separate conversations, asked Nathan and me if we would come to do a trekking retreat here. And I immediately said no. I don't do that. You know, I don't walk for a week carrying a rucksack. It's not in my repertoire. I don't do that. And they both, it was two separate conversations because they both had exactly the same reaction. They both said to me, why not? You know, why not? And that was such a great question because I was so like, no, no way, you know, I don't do that. No, it's not, I can't, forget it. It was like, why not? You know, why not? And that questioning, you know, of why not, was, it really stopped me in that image of that I had of myself. And so I kind of fell in a little bit more, and we probably talked a little bit more. And eventually there was openness and there was willingness. It was okay. Let's do it. You know, let's do it and see what happens. So that questioning that can help us see where we perceive a limit to who we are. You know, I'm this, I teach trekking retreats, but not when I need to carry my bag. You know, that's the limit. And the questioning helps. So that's the limit. Is that limit as real as it seems? And we all have these limits. They can take many, many forms. You know, I'm a shy person. I'm a, you know, overconfident person. I like this and I don't like that. So seeing that and then questioning, why not? Or am I? Or what else is possible? I recommend it. Because it can change. What seems impossible can become possible. When there's that questioning, when there's that seeing of a perceived limit that isn't real. And when we explore it, when we look into it, we discover our own resources. Yeah, we discover what we can do. We discover that we're not just who we thought we were. And in a way, we can say we discover our true nature, which is boundless, limitless. Not separate, not solid, not limited. And that's also the true nature of everyone and everything else. Which is really cool. So all of us, everything, made up of this intricate web of changing, moving, impermanent conditions and causes. Coming together, flowing, apart, constantly. So yesterday, I invited you to feel the transition from being a body to being a body with a bag. Do you remember? Yeah. And that can be interesting. We expand that sense, that limited sense of who we think we are. And today, we've been expanding that even more. Yeah, opening out even more. In the guided meditation today, of just feeling that possibility of letting life move through our awareness, or in Nathan's instructions this afternoon, of actually feeling ourselves walking through what is home to so many creatures. And feeling that. So we're actually, when we do that, we expand our awareness. We expand our sense of who we are. From just this to more. And when we do that, we're really opening to a bigger picture. It's pretty radical, it's pretty amazing to spend time in a place that's so untouched by humans. And at the same time, it's so natural to us. You know, when we suddenly see a tin can or a glass bottle or some rubbish that somebody's left, that stands out. That doesn't belong. But it's so natural for us. And yet it's so radical and amazing to be somewhere that's not affected by humans in the way our environments normally are. And to feel the reality that we human beings are a minority on this planet. You know, that's the reality. And yet most of our lives are spent in human environments created by humans. So coming into nature, coming into wildness, it has a lot of challenges. We're experiencing them right now. Some of them. But it also offers so many gifts to us. So many gifts. We're reminded of our place in the family of all things. We're reminded that we are part of this huge family of life on planet Earth. Huge family. And we're given perspective. We're given perspective. Nathan spoke yesterday about our tendency to get contracted around our self-concern, to get contracted around what's happening to me, in me. And that starts to change. That starts to shift when we're someplace so spacious and so big, like we're sitting in right now. Surrounded by so many forms of life. So we start to feel the impact that nature has on us. And we also then begin to feel the impact that we have on nature. Goes both ways. The impact that we as individuals and as a species have on nature. And so we begin this journey from self-concern or from self-centered to life-centered, to caring for all, including ourselves in that, but not limited and not limiting. So our care expands and includes all of life. And it may feel like something that's way beyond us right now. Caring for all of life, how do I do that? How do I do that? But it's possible for us. It's possible for us. It's actually what brought us here to this place, to this experience, to this adventure together. I was really touched today when several people referred to this miracle of greenery and life and abundance that's here, that wasn't here even a few weeks ago. And the fact that everything we see around us lives in extremely harsh conditions for most of the year. That's pretty mind-blowing. And what it teaches us, that same life force that's in the trees and the plants and the birds and the insects, that keeps them going, that keeps them coming back year after year to life. That same life force also exists in us. We have it within us. So whatever the challenges of our lives, whatever the stories that we're dealing with, past or present, that life force is in us. And part of what we're doing here is connecting to that. Connecting to that aliveness, connecting to that energy, connecting to that possibility. And letting it move through us. Letting it move through us. So that we act, so that our lives become a movement that is for the welfare and the benefit of all beings, including ourselves. That our lives become an action for the welfare of this planet and all its inhabitants. In the Buddhist tradition, this kind of intention is called bodhisattva spirit. And it's that real wish to be here for the sake of all and to do what we can to support all of life in all its forms. I was remembering, it feels very appropriate at the moment, I'm being bitten quite a lot. I was remembering two stories from the Tibetan tradition. I'm not sure if they're about the same Tibetan sage or two different ones. The first one is about a great sage. I think he's the one that wrote the text, the 37 practices of the Bodhisattva. And apparently when he was a child, he got a new coat. And that very same night, he went out of the house and he came back without it. And his parents were really annoyed. They were like, where's your coat? You know, it's a new coat. And he told them that he'd noticed that there were some insects living on a bush outside their house. And it was a very cold night. So he went out and he put the coat over the insects to keep them warm. So that's one story, and that's bodhisattva spirit. The other one, can't remember if it's the same guy, he may have been. Many, many years later, he was an old man and a very respected teacher. And one day he saw a beggar whose robe was in very bad condition. So he gave him his own, and he took his robe and wore it himself. And his students were horrified because he was wearing this dirty, tatty robe, which was also full of lice. And so they were offering him all these nice clothes and asking him, please, master, please, you know, take off that robe and wear these instead. And he said, give me a few more days to enjoy feeding these creatures. Give me a few more days to enjoy feeding these creatures. So what happens to us when we hear these stories? You know, that laughter, that sense of appreciation. And yeah, it's very far from all of us, probably. At least for me, to willingly offer in that way. And yet that seed is in us, and that wish, even when we can't put it into practice all the time. But that wish to be of service, to be of nourishment, to care for others without a sense of limit or separation, without me and you, just us. So this is a great environment to connect to that and to nourish it and to feel it with each other and with the world around us. It's a great environment. And when times are difficult, when times are challenging, remembering that that is also part of the process. So when times are hard, when things are difficult, when we're getting bitten and it's not pleasant, taking that also as an opportunity to cultivate compassion, as people mentioned today, to cultivate kindness to ourselves as part of the web of life. And then to growing, expanding circles around us. So I think that's what I have to say. But if there's any questions or comments, they're welcome. So let's take a little stretch break, and then we'll have a meditation together after that. So if we just do about 5 minutes, should we come back here or sit up there? Do people want to be around the fire, or is it too smoky for meditation? Okay. So it will die out at some point, but that's okay. So 5 minutes and we'll have a meditation together.